Hello, everyone. My name is Rosie, and I have the pleasure this morning to introduce you to the Blue Hill Mountain Stories. These stories were recorded by George Stevens Academy's audio production class and produced for WERU by Rosie Landrum. Today's piece features an interview with Blue Hill resident Birgit Friend, interviewed by Millie Cowart, a junior at George Stevens Academy. Birgit Friend is a local activist in Blue Hill. She works on issues related to the upkeep of Blue Hill Mountain. She's helped maintain trails, worked with the owners of the AT&T Tower, and has helped make the mountain more hiker-friendly. In this interview, Birgit shares her experience advocating for the mountain's osprey and provides insight into what goes into local activism and the importance of preserving access to the mountain. I hope you enjoy this episode. Once again, this is Birgit Friend.
When I first got here in 96, I had two dogs, which then quickly became three, and I was working full-time, and I realized my dogs needed an hour walk every morning to even minimally behave in the neighborhood and not just go running all over the place and not be really upset with me. And even, like, one dog had a way of, like, tearing up the furniture if she was feeling a bit neglected. So I found that if I went for a walk first thing before work, which when I was working as a carpenter was about 6 in the morning, it was good for the dogs, it was good for my day, it was good for the house, it was good for the furniture. And then I realized, you know, after quite a few years, it was really, really good for me. It became just sort of a spiritual ritual, where before I went out and did work for other people and gave my time and energy and intelligence and caring away to care for other people, I first just spent an hour caring for myself and my dogs. At some point, I think it was just that every day I would see something so beautiful that I wanted to record it for myself, you know, just to print it out, to remember it, and then maybe to do enlargements or drawings or paintings from it, but just the amazement, you know? And even walking up every day, and now having, you know, for almost 28 years, whenever I'm in May and I walk up every morning, there's never a morning where I don't see something new that makes me go, oh, I've gotta take a picture of that, you know? Like, that's amazing. So, I wasn't even really aware much of the ospreys up until, I believe it was 2022. They were just one of the many birds that would fly along. But when AT&T put its most recent really big array on top of the tower, which I believe was 2021, in spring of 2022, the osprey saw that and said, aha, nesting site. And walking up the mountain every morning, I would meet the service techs. I'd meet the guys on their ATVs, you know, and I'd say hi. You know, I heard from them, about the osprey. They're like, oh gosh, when osprey end up, you know, nesting on towers, it's just a matter of time before they get electrocuted, the adults, or one of the young ones does, or it causes a fire up there, or it causes equipment to malfunction, and we have to go up there. And if the fledglings are still in the nest, or if the eggs are still in the nest, we call the bird biologist and USDA, and he comes, he just takes them away. And that family is not a family anymore. And supposedly they bring the birds to a rescue place, but, you know. I have a picture from 2023, one of the teenage fledglings that I watched every morning. I'd see them, you know, after the parents were sitting there incubating the eggs for about a month, and you'd see the babies, you know, making noise, and the parents feeding them and feeding them and feeding them and feeding them, and fish, fish, fish. And then the fledglings start to learn how to fly. You know, and you see this family every morning, right? And, you know, I have one picture of one morning on the electric pole at the top, one of the teenagers was electrocuted and it was dead. It was hanging there. And I'd already started to do some activism around getting a nest deterrent up there to prevent them from nesting the next season, to just nest where they always used to go, in big old trees, right? But of course, I'm always called the troublemaker when I do those things. I just want you to leave things well enough alone, Birgit. They're just birds. Part of it, first, I think, is consciousness. Like, what are you aware of? If I'm coming from this set of things I've, you know, facts or information or experiences I've been involved with, you know, I've gotten to know the osprey themselves, right? I'm talking to somebody who really thinks it's just a bird, Birgit. You know, we're obviously coming from two different places. We're both caring people. You know, this person cares for the environment in all kinds of ways, dedicated, you know, his life and his career to it, but in a different way than I have. You know, so, you know, I could see, Birgit's just anthropomorphizing the osprey. She calls us a teenager. It's a fledgling. You know, I'm like, yeah, that's what I do. It's true. You know, so, but understanding that other people are looking at the same issue, and where they may love and care for the community just as much as you do, they're just seeing it differently. I think what I've tried to do is, first of all, be polite. Don't take it personally, and don't give up trying to have a conversation with other people about something that I care about. And maybe bring other people besides just me along with me for the conversation next time, you know, so it's not just, oh God, here comes Birgit again, you know? Because there's a lot of people who care about the things I'm bringing up, but aren't as willing to put up with the resistance, maybe. You know, that's kind of like just a difference of personality. And I kind of wish I wasn't, but built that way sometimes, you know? But then it's really rewarding when something finally happens that everybody says, wow, this was a win-win for everyone, you know?